Alaska, the last frontier. These are the chronicles of the 49th state in our union. Your future mission, to explore these strange new lands, to seek out new lifestyles and new epic encounters, to boldly do what you've never done before.
My Rainville, my haven, my windmill. I hope you join me if you ever got some time to kill.
Raising eaglets in the last frontier. It's your favorite Alaskan bald eagle. This is the Last Frontier Podcast with your host Danny and friend of the pod, co-host Jared, filling in for Andrew today.
Heyo,
Jared, welcome back to the pod.
Good to be here always.
Do you get upset that we make you shave your head every time you come on the podcast?
The problem is I get these ingrown hairs every time, and it's...
You look beautiful, though.
Hey, there's price to fame.
Yeah.
And here I am.
Here you are. And this Jared.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh.
Ooh. Ooh. This Jared is a special episode.
Yeah. Very special.
Our next episode is our 100th anniversary episode.
What, 99?
We're at 99, which is... If you're relating episodes to the top 100, this would be the penultimate episode, which is my favorite word in the English dictionary.
That's a pretty good word.
Big fan. Alaska, the penultimate state in the union, second to last state. Andrew's off having fun in Hawaii, so I'm sure we'll have some good times with him later, recapping that fun stuff. But some of us brave the Alaska.
Can you believe some people leave Alaska for winter,
crazy.
Danny?
Yeah, it's nuts.
It seems ridiculous.
It is nuts. Yeah. But this is the first episode that we've recorded since the birth of my daughter.
Hey-o.
Very exciting. We kind of, Andrew and I pre-recorded a few episodes because we knew that I would be busy with parenting things and whatnot, and he's off getting some sea time because he's working on his captain's license, which I'm excited to hear more about how that's going. But today's episode, we're going to talk about raising kids in Alaska.
Yeah,
because longtime listeners will know, I think it was your very first episode. Was it your first episode when we talked about how you grew up in Port Allsworth?
I think it was my first episode. Then of course we had my dad on.
Yeah.
At one point, too.
Yeah.
Talk about growing up out there, and he was working for the Park Service. So
yeah, Lake Clark National Park.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you can check out those in the way back in the archives. It's been a while since that episode. But you also have a 12-year-old, is she 12 now? 12-year-old daughter.
Yeah, 12-year-old. Yeah,
and crazy. So when I first moved here, she was one.
Yeah. And so, she was real little.
Real little. And dancing at the bar. I remember some of my first memories of Sophie.
Yeah. Barely any older than yours.
Mm-hmm, I know.
Crazy.
It's crazy that when my daughter is Sophie's age, Sophie will be 24 years
old. She'll be a kayak guide.
Holy smokes. Yeah. And I think special guest spot on this episode, Sophie's going to join us for something real quick here in a little bit. But before we get to the meat of the episode, I just want to put something out there first about being a parent. I want to get your advice on something.
Yeah, let's do it.
And just so people can understand what kind of podcast episode this might delve into.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we have a cat.
Right.
And when we got the cat, I think I've shared this story in the podcast. My wife wanted to get a cat. We were dating at the time, not living together yet. I'm mildly allergic to cats.
Yeah.
Like some cats really bad for me. Some are fine. And I was like really nervous about this. We were talking about moving in together. I was like, all right, well, let's just see how it goes. I knew if it didn't go well for me on my allergies, good chance she would pick the cat over me, right?
Yeah, and that's always a danger.
So that's probably the most dangerous part of my relationship. Yeah. So she gets the cat, but then after she agreed to get the cat, she's like, my apartment doesn't allow pets, so it has to live with you. Right? So
it's a classy move.
Yeah. So I get this cat. I get to live with the cat first. So now I get the joke that it's more my cat than hers because I've lived with it longer. But one of the deals I made with her is like, I just hate dealing with kitty litter.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, we'll get the cat. I'll brave through this allergy thing that I might get with the cat.
Yeah.
My one condition is I don't do anything with the cat litter.
Right.
Like that's strictly you. And she was happy to agree to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, what I did not know is that kitty litter is poisonous for pregnant women.
Right.
And so I've had to deal with the kitty litter all through her pregnancy. And it has now been over a month since the birth of my daughter.
Yeah.
I find myself still cleaning the kitty litter out.
That's a problem.
And so what do I do? What advice can you give to me? Is this something I'm stuck doing the rest of my life? Do I demand that my wife, who is tired and breastfeeding all the time, take over the kitty litter? She's in the next room right now. Right. Part of me, hopefully, is thinking that I'm passively aggressively giving her this message because she can overhear me. But what do I do?
You've come to the right place. I have all the ideas. I know exactly. Listen, I've had a daughter for 12 years.
Okay.
Just banging down the doors of having a teen daughter.
Which, I know.
You know.
In a few months.
It's a whole thing. This is where serious dad science comes in, right? Now, in my experience, I've had a few issues in the past. I'm usually pretty good with these sort of big problem solving things, right?
Okay, hit me with it.
You need to get yourself an automatic kitty litter
scooper
disposal, like cat box thing. They have the ones. It has a little thing, rotates like a little rake, rotates through the kitty litter, and it just pops right out the back. There's like a little trash bag in the back. It all goes in there. You pull the little trash bag out. All the poop's in there. All the little hard pieces from
like the pee.
The pee are like all pushed down in there. All you got to do is dump the kitty litter in. That's your only option.
Okay.
Because you can't.
I can't go back.
You can't go back.
Yeah.
It's over.
I knew. I kind of had a feeling.
Yeah.
I had a feeling.
So you really have two options. You get the automatic kitty litter dispenser where you teach your cat to poop on the toilet like mine does.
Your cat does do that.
My cat.
I've heard it.
My cat poops on our toilet. I don't know how it learned. We did not teach it.
You didn't teach it.
No.
No.
One day, our daughter, about probably 5-6 years ago, walks into the kitchen with this look on her face, horrified look. She said, "The cat's peeing on the toilet." And I was like, that's not true. That's not true. And she's like, "Come look." I look in. Cat's peeing on the toilet.
What's crazy about that is you have a cat door and your cat is strictly an outdoor cat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, our cat.
Your cat
chooses. We never had a litter box.
To poop in a toilet.
Right.
Untrained as opposed to outside.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
We leave for large periods of time in the winter. Usually go down, run around the desert. Sometimes a couple months. We have to leave the door to the bathroom open and seat up. Most of the cat does not know what to do with himself.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Just come back to a pile of poo in the...
Yeah, you'll just have poop in your kitchen.
That's crazy.
Because the cat doesn't know what to do. So, you either got to train cats poop on the toilet, or you got to get yourself an automatic kitty little dispenser if, you know, you're looking to not have to do it
anymore. Yeah. Well, we have the automatic feeder, which is nice.
Ah, that's good.
So...
Yeah, see? You got that. So, you only got to feed it like once a month. You just pour the big old bag in there.
Sweet.
Same thing. Same with the kitty litter. You just gotta once a month. You could fill up the kitty litter like dispenser with the kitty litter, and then make sure you pull the bag out. Because you don't pull the bag out, then you're really in trouble.
Really in trouble.
You don't want to mess with that.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, sneak preview of this episode. Today's topic of conversation is raising kids in Alaska. Maybe some of the unique differences of doing that here versus in the lower 48. And so I'm going to kind of just pick your brain maybe to get some advice for myself.
Yeah.
And we're actually going to do a beer review, special beer I'm excited for, but we're going to bring Sophie in for a root beer review.
Hello.
For just a quick little root beer review of one of the more popular establishments here in Alaska that you might go grab a pizza and drink a beer or a root beer from. So
yeah.
But before we get to that, obviously we got to give a shout out to our main sponsor, which is Sunny Cove Kayaking, as this podcast would not be possible without support from Sunny Cove Kayaking. And you can find more information from them at sunnycove.com. Is a truly Alaskan adventure on your bucket list? Sunny Cove Kayaking has been paddling the waters of Resurrection Bay, Fox Island, and Kenai Fjords National Park since 1996. They truly are experts when it comes to planning your vacation into Alaska's wild places. Visit sunnycove.com to learn more about their half-day, full-day, and multi-day kayaking adventures. Whether you're 8 or 98, Sunny Cove Kayaking is the perfect adventure for you and your family. Sunny Cove Kayaking, let them guide you into Alaska's wild places at sunnycove.com.
And now, you as a listener can become a sponsor of our podcast. If you like our content and wish to support us financially, check out our podcast site on the Patreon website. There are different tiers with various benefits that you can receive based on your pledged level of support, and that helps us keep improving the production quality of our podcast. Go ahead and visit at www.patreon.com/thelastfrontier.
And Jared, when we come back, we're going to meet Sophie, drink a root beer.
Yeah.
Drink a beer.
First time on the podcast for Sophie.
Yeah, very exciting. Yeah, very exciting. First of maybe many.
Almost the whole family.
Yeah.
At this point.
Oh, yeah.
I get Jamie. My mom on next. Oh, Jamie.
Jamie, oh, your mom. Oh, your mom.
No, you listen. Listen, podcast listeners. You gotta watch out if my mom gets on here. It's gonna be a ride.
Wow. We've had some long episodes.
Wild ride.
It might be the wildest.
Pretty exciting.
All right, here we go. And welcome back to the podcast. As always, our beer of the episode is sponsored by the Michiana Beer Reviewers, awesome group of people who like to support and promote local craft breweries through beer reviews on their Facebook page, beer fest coverage, on-site at-the-tap promotions of newly released brews, and their hit podcast, the Beer and Nonsense Podcast. And as our way of supporting local Alaskan breweries, we review a different Alaskan craft beer each episode. But today, two reviews. I don't want to spend too much time on the first review because we got a beer to drink. Yeah, however, we're talking about raising kids in Alaska.
Yeah.
And one of the first places I went to in terms of a restaurant establishment, you actually took me, I don't know if you remember, but we went to Anchorage to the Moose's Tooth.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the Moose's Tooth means a little more to you than me. So maybe give a little explanation here.
So the Moose's Tooth is a pizza and brewery that opened, I think it was in like 97 or something like that. Back in the 80s, there was Alaska Brewing, and that was a big deal. That was brewed in Southeast Alaska, and it was a local beer. But as far as like a brew pub sort of style place goes, Moose's Tooth was like the very first of that style establishment in Alaska. And it took off like crazy. And now, you know, obviously, Alaska's kind of known for its breweries and that culture and everything. But when I was younger coming up, it was the place to be. And it was one of those places where, you know, I mean, if you were out on like a hike for days and days, you would just do nothing but think about getting back to Moose's Tooth and having a beer and a pizza. It was like the thing that kept you going.
Yeah.
And it was it was my first legal beer. Not that I ever had any illegal beers.
No.
But I did actually have my first drink there when I turned 21. So there was a time in my life where I went to the Moose's Tooth every single day.
Every day.
As a matter of fact, I would meet my mom there most days after she got off work because it was kind of right next to the campus, like the college campus and the big campus where my parents worked for the National Park Service. And all those buildings were kind of all together and they're right next to the Moose's Tooth. So it was like, it's a place that I spend a lot of time.
Yeah. And so if you are a traveler coming into Alaska, odds are Anchorage is your main hub for hanging out when you fly in or flying out. And so a lot of people don't spend a whole lot of time in Anchorage, but usually the Moose's Tooth is on most people's go-to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nationally recognized as a go-to spot in Alaska.
It's a big deal. They double their seating in the summertime to take all the folks that come in and have like tripled the size of their kitchen over the years. It's quite the operation. It's really cool.
And so what we've got on tap today is part of the Moose's Tooth. The brewery section is called Broken Tooth, and we've got their root beer.
Yeah.
So it's probably the most easily accessible root beer in the state of Alaska. And it's kind of hard to kind of follow what trends are happening here along with the rest of the U.S. I assume breweries starting to make root beers is kind of becoming more widespread, but up here in Alaska, like most of the breweries, I feel like have some sort of root beer and even beyond. Like there's some breweries that have like a whole line of non-alcoholic drinks and sodas. And so we have your daughter, Sophie, here on the podcast. Say hello, Sophie.
Hi.
We're going to review a root beer here first.
Let's do it.
Anything special about this root beer we need to...
So the Moose's Tooth, the root beer, it was one of their original... They came out originally with a line of three different sodas. There was a ginger ale, cream soda, and a root beer. They, for whatever reason, dropped the ginger ale, of all things.
Interesting.
I'm still a little sore about to this day. But the root beer, you can also get it there as a float.
Yummy.
And to save time, we've already cracked it open. We've poured it ABV on this root beer.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah.
0%.
Bitterness index also likely zero.
Likely zero.
That's it.
ABV, Sophie, is the alcohol by volume content.
Yeah.
You won't know anything about that for another 10 years. So let's cheers it up.
Cheers.
Well, that's a good root beer. Sophie, do you like root beers in general?
Yeah.
And so let's let you kick this review off. How would you rate this root beer to other root beers you've drank?
Better than all of them.
Better than all of them?
Ooh, that's high praise right there.
Mm-hmm. So this is your most favorite root beer you've ever had?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Coming in.
Coming out. This is good. This is the big one.
This is.
Yeah, the top of the Mount Rushmore for her.
Why do you like this one so much?
I don't really know. It's sweeter than most of them, and I don't like my root beers bitter.
Right.
Yeah. Like a sweet soda.
Yeah. She's not like the Barks Has Bite kind of girl.
No.
She's a sweet root beer.
I saw the word caffeine on it. I was like, is there caffeine in this? But it says caffeine and gluten-free.
Caffeine and gluten-free.
Yeah. A lot of sugar in it. And we always rate our beers. And so, I mean, Jared.
Well, how about this? The root beer, right? I think we should rate the root beer on a Sophie scale. Sophie, how old are you?
12.
You're 12 years old?
And a quarter.
12 and a quarter? All right. Let's rate it out of 12 and a quarter.
All right. Between 0 and 12.25.
Yeah.
Here, I'll go first here.
All right.
Do one more sip.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite root beers as well. You know what I'm going to do here? Most of our rating scales, where you, Jared, are not on the
right
podcast.
I've heard this before.
0 to 10.
Yeah.
Boring, I know.
I can't imagine.
However, never given a 10 to a beer.
No.
There's no perfect beer right? No, you know, I don't even know if I've given over a 9, maybe 1 or 2 most. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I've even done that. However, I'm going to give this one the solid 10 because it's so good and delicious for a root beer that, you know, there are times when beers are obviously refreshing, but also like if I've just done a really hard workout or big hike, sometimes like carbonation, so good. Of my favorite memories of drinking sodas are after like a half marathon or something.
Oh, yeah. Man,
it's delicious. And I'm going to give this one, you know, the rare 10 and also integer solid number.
Ooh, nice.
We'll leave Sophie for last. So
all right.
What do you got?
I mean, this is up there with some of the best root beers. I have history with this root beer. I've had quite a few of them. I do have a little bit of negative history. As I mentioned, the ginger ale was much better.
Ooh.
So, I would say...
It's a little sour towards the root beer.
Yeah, I like the root beer. But boy, oh boy, did I have a few words with those bartenders when they stopped producing the old ginger beer. So, putting those feelings aside... I'm going to come in pretty close to you there, Danny. I'm going to come in with 10.5.
Ooh, so even higher.
My beer review. Root beer review. Because I do think this is the gold standard of root beers.
This is
when I think of a root beer, this is the one I think of.
And you know, with the popularity of this podcast, you know, we're almost at 100 episodes now. We're getting more and more listeners. Maybe this is the push. The little last frontier podcast bump that the ginger ale needed get back on the menu.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
To all the listeners.
Broken Tooth out there?
Yeah. All the listeners. Let's go ahead and flood those social media accounts at the Broken Tooth Brewing.
It's like, hey, what happened?
Requests.
Didn't you guys do a ginger ale once upon a time?
Beer.
All right, Sophie.
That's what I got.
Okay.
What's your score?
12.
Oh.
Ooh. You're giving it a 12 out of 12.25 in percentage. That's really high.
You haven't started doing percentages in math yet, so you know that you could go another quarter higher, right?
I do.
Okay. All right. Just make sure.
That's good. It's always good.
Just gotta make sure.
If you rate something perfect,
yeah.
Then what happens down the road?
Yeah.
When you find something a little better.
Yeah.
Potentially. Maybe you never will.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just gotta leave that little bit of room. I like that what you did there. So, Sophie, it's your favorite root beer. This might be my favorite root beer. Yeah. In the state. It is delicious.
It's really good.
And I'm glad we had this idea. So now we can it's like a little preview before we get into our beer review. So, Sophie, thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Thank you, Sophie.
I think we're going to be talking about you a little bit here.
Yeah.
Shortly.
We're going to be talking trash about you.
And now, Jared, on to the main event. It is our beer review of the episode. And for our penultimate one, I've been saving this one for a while.
Ooh.
Special episode, special beer. Because this is a baby, not baby, but raising kids in Alaska.
Yeah.
I'm in the baby phase now. Lots of baby wipes in my house.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've noticed, but listeners of the podcast will realize, and you know, that when Andrew opens the beer, he makes a mess everywhere.
Absolutely.
So we've got these little microphone screens.
Yeah.
And as I was getting ready today, I was like, dear Lord, I can tell which one Andrew uses. It was disgusting. And so I went next door to the little baby room, got some baby wipes, cleaned them right off.
Oh, man.
And it looks good as new. Listen, so
I haven't used 12-year-old. I haven't used baby wipe on a butt, on a baby's butt. In a very long time.
Yep.
But I still buy them every time I go to Costco.
Yeah.
You can't live without them.
Can't
live
without them. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Kind of like that kitty litter.
Oh, jeez. Jeez. But you know what makes me feel better after cleaning the kitty litter?
What you got?
A beer.
Hey, that's right.
Hey, what we got, Jared?
That's a classic dad right there.
That's right.
So what we got here today is a Turnagain Brewing small batch series. It is a bourbon barrel aged Imperial Stout.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's my kind of beer right there. I'm glad to see that my reputation precedes me. I'm the dark beersman.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like this is a small batch series, so there's not a whole lot about the specific beer on the bottle. The biz does here say 12% alcohol by volume.
12%.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, and it says here it was bottled. This is a little aged one here. Bottled 12/27. 2021.
Yeah. These ones are supposed to age, I think. So
yeah.
Some beers you're not supposed to, but I think these kind of barrel-aged stouts, you can age a little bit. So I got this one a while ago, and now we're kind of at the end of the winter months, and so you don't want to wait too much longer.
No.
It's a little warm in Alaska for this style of beer, but still perfect time of year. And so
even in Alaska, it's too warm for a stout in the summer.
Yeah.
Most of the summer.
Some of the summer.
Depends on the summer.
True. Not last summer.
All right. We're ready here?
Let's do it.
Let's do this.
Beautiful. Nice and clean.
Kept a nice and clean look here.
You listen to that, Andrew? There, so Jared's going to pour the beer here. Oh, let's get the sound effect there. I don't know why it took us so long to do this. Turnagain out of Anchorage, Alaska. I think I've mentioned it before. Probably my favorite brewery in the state of Alaska. They're known for their sour series of beers. They do a lot of good Belgian style beers. So I'm not too familiar with their darker beers. So kind of excited to drink this one. And oftentimes when we review darker beers, we kind of forget to let them sit a little bit.
Right.
Warmer the better.
Right, right.
You don't want them to just drink them straight out of the fridge. So this one's been out for a good probably 45 minutes here. So you pour this, not much head at all.
Not much, no. Yeah. Not a lot of fizz. I have noticed a lot of the times when you have these beers that are aged, they don't come out with the biggest head.
Listeners, I can't tell if they're gonna be able to hear this.
So
my baby is crying in the other room.
We got our first baby cry of the podcast.
Yeah, and baby wants the beer. That's why.
But that's why. Well,
no beer, baby.
Either that or Sophie's over there trying to force feed her root beer.
Root beer. Yeah.
You never know.
I think Sophie's keeping that root beer to herself.
Yeah,
but I've not picked up the glass yet. I can smell it from here.
Yeah.
It is strong.
It is a strong smelling beer.
Strong.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, that barrel aged. Ooh,
it's good. I'm glad we split it because it's two almost full pint glasses and it is a 12% alcohol by volume beer. I can smell this is going to be a strong
beer.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Cheers. Ooh.
Wow. That is something else. That is a distinct, it's quite possible that is the darkest beer I've ever drank in my life.
That's interesting. There's almost like a thicker, it's definitely very sweet, almost molasses type taste to it, feel to it.
Absolutely. I just made some chicken wings the other day. I put in a molasses sauce and that like taste. I mean, yeah, that is like maybe the most prominent flavor is molasses.
Yeah.
It almost tastes like you're just drinking a cup of watery molasses.
That's interesting. I feel like you get that taste sometimes with barley wines, which are also, I wonder if it relates to this, the higher alcohol content that you get in barley wines as well. But to have this on like a stout. Ooh, this is nice.
Definitely light through the beer wise. The darkest beer I've ever seen. You can't put a... I'm putting my flashlight from my cell phone on it right now, and you cannot see light through it from the other side of the glass.
Like, it pierces the side a little bit when you get it over to the edge, and yeah. But yeah, no, it's...
I mean, that is a dark beer. I am...
You know, you aren't the biggest IPA fan.
Right.
And we, for a while there, kept doing IPAs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're like, ah, shoot, we forgot.
It's all good. I can drink an IPA. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I prefer beers you can't see.
What do you think? Rating scale.
Well, Danny, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit.
Okay.
You've recently had a baby. What time was your baby born?
Baby was born at, is this work better, military hours, or does it not matter? It was a PM baby, so this will...
Let's do military.
Military hours?
I just had this conversation the other day. It's ridiculous to use anything other than military.
So 1830 hours.
Ooh, on the button.
On the button. Look at 6:30 p.m. for you people that are frustrated and didn't want to do the math.
Yeah.
So 1830. So 18. We got in to the hospital at 9 p.m. the night before.
Uh-huh.
And so not quite a full 24 hours.
Oh, I like it.
Before baby was born. But yeah, 1830.
Well, I think of, in honor of baby Taco, as I like to call her, we should go the score out of 1830. Yeah. Seems good.
Seems good.
Seems like a on brand. Shout out to little baby Taco.
Man, this beer hits the spot for the time of year. Turnagain does it again. Out of 1830 being the best, I'm going to go with a 1599.
Oh.
99.
Yeah.
In honor of the 99th episode.
Hello.
And so basically that'd be like a 16 out of 8. That's a really high score. I don't know what that equates to, but yeah. That's in the upper ranges of a score I've given.
Yeah. It's a good beer.
It's really good beer.
Yeah.
What you got?
So out of... Yeah, I'm going to say, maybe not going to go quite as high as you, but I'm up there. I'm going to go around 1550.
1550.
Yeah. That seems pretty good. Yeah. It's because, like I said, this is when I want a heavy, dark, winter beer. I was out skiing today, did a bunch of shoveling, all the things. You're done with a day like that, you want a heavy beer.
Heavy beer.
This is the heaviest beer. If I'm rating the heaviness of the beer, I'm going right to, 1830. 1829 maybe. Like, I mean, the darkness factor, boy, it's in there. But overall score, like 1550, around there, it's pretty good. Because like I said, you're not going to want to drink this on a sunny, warm day.
No.
As a matter of fact, if you've been inside too long, you might not even want to drink this beer. It's pretty heavy duty.
Yeah, it's definitely a beer for a certain time of year, certain moments. But yeah, solid. You said it's a special batch release, right?
And yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if that means that it's going to be accessible since I've had this one for a while. But I did get this at La Bodega out in Anchorage, Alaska. Yeah. And so you can check there if you're in state, see if they've got it. But or just go check out Turnagain. They're also in Anchorage. So
another hit from Turnagain.
Yeah.
Right.
The hits just keep coming.
Yeah, they do a good job. I don't think I've ever, honestly, had a Turnagain Brewing beer not on your podcast, Danny, which is interesting. I need to get to the brewery.
It's nice. It's like a small, like, hole in the wall
spot.
It's like not big, but it's like cozy. And yeah, and I like the logo too.
Dude, it's a good logo.
Sweet logo. It's a good logo. Very Alaskan.
Yeah. Yeah. Native art style. Half native art style, I guess. Mm-hmm. Half just fish.
Fish.
Love a fish.
Yeah. Love a good fish.
Most Alaskan thing you put on me.
All right,
Danny.
Let's drink this beer a little bit, and then we're coming back. We're talking raising kids in Alaska.
Let's go.
Giddy up.
All right.
And welcome back to the podcast. Jared, we took a little break there. I'm sipping this beer. It is a definitely sipper of a beer.
It's a sipper.
What was more sweet, the beer or the root beer?
Listen, it's 50-50 in my mind. I mean, I can't imagine that there's not as much sugar in this beer as there is in that root beer. It is a really, it's definitely the sweetest beer I think I've ever, like, it's the sweetest beer I've ever liked for sure.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not usually much for like a sweet, fruity beer kind of guy. But like you said, this, it does taste very much like I'm drinking
molasses.
Molasses.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. But let's get to today's main topic of the episode, raising kids in Alaska. We would be remiss if we did not do an update of maybe the last episode you were on when we talked about the Fantasy Football League.
Yeah.
Did we talk about that?
We did.
On the podcast?
We did.
Yeah. And so, we were in the same Fantasy Football League. I, as the commissioner, felt so confident in my ability to win the league that I put naming rights to my child on the victory, on whoever won the league. And my wife is in the league as well. This was me motivating her to do well.
Right, yeah.
12-person league, only 4 teams make the playoffs.
Right.
It's pretty competitive.
Yeah.
Alyssa, my wife, did not make the playoffs.
She didn't make it.
And so that's on her.
Yeah.
That's her fault. Right?
And she would have been able to name her own child.
And
had she won.
When we started the league, or this season, you put the name that you would have chosen if you would have won the league. As Taco Frittata.
Taco Frittata.
Baby Taco.
Baby.
And everyone called the baby Taco all throughout the pregnancy.
Because that's her name.
And Jared, you had a killer team.
I did. Listen.
You did so well.
It was a team.
You just were the most unlucky team in terms of who you played each week.
Yeah.
And it came down to the last week to get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And you had a Monday night starting quarterback.
I did.
Who just did not play.
No, he didn't even go.
And lost you the match.
Yeah, no, He couldn't find anything.
No.
Like, he couldn't find the field. He couldn't find the ball. He couldn't even find the ground.
And you had no choice. There were no backups. No, because someone in our league, Terrell, decided to pick up the both backups for that game.
Yeah.
And just to stick it to you. He wasn't even playing you.
No, he wasn't. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it so was, you did not make the playoffs. I did make the playoffs.
So it was collusion. And I did not
make
the playoffs.
I made it past the first round of the playoffs to the championship round.
Right.
Where I promptly lost.
Yeah, you did. You did lose naming rights.
To friend of the pod, Russ.
He's also
been on the podcast.
Yep.
And so he did choose to name our baby something.
Yeah.
However, your name was so popular.
Yeah.
That our baby's name is Taco.
It's, listen.
It may not be on her birth certificate as Taco, but her name is Taco.
No, she will be forever known as Taco to at least 12 people.
And so when Taco is 12 years old, like Sophie,
yeah,
and she wants to know, why do people call me Taco?
Yeah.
I'm going to point her to this episode.
Yeah, you should
listen to the Last Frontier podcast.
This is ideal.
Yeah.
This is how she'll find out.
Yeah. So baby Taco. And so, I'm excited. I feel like it's really cool to have a baby born in Alaska.
Absolutely.
I feel like whenever I've traveled internationally and I've told people that I don't say I'm from the States, not from the U.S. I'm from Alaska. I'm 10 times more interesting.
Yeah,
right? And I think that's going to be her case if she decides to move out or travel. Yeah. Like, she's an Alaskan baby.
Absolutely.
And I don't know where this is going to go. I kind of want to hear some stories about raising Sophie here in Alaska.
So,
you know, pros, cons, if you have any. Just as a template, I found this website on Lifetime Adoption, and they had an article that was written less than a year ago. 9 reasons why Alaska is a great place for your child to grow up. Oh, so I thought we'd just use these 9 things as a template. Some of them are actually pretty similar. And then I'm just curious some stories that you might have, how they relate to it. So
For sure.
Number one, obviously, the great outdoors.
Right.
Yeah. Unspoiled outdoors, Alaskan wilderness, perfect for families who like to spend a lot of time outside, which you do.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, as a kid growing up here, you know, I mean, not only was I born, or my daughter born here, I was born here as well. And as a kid growing up here, I mean, that was 100% what I remember from being a kid. Like, you know, as an older kid, once I was, you know, 9, 10 years old, something like that. Like, my day was, like, my folks worked all summer long because they worked for the Park Service. And my day was, like, grab a fishing pole, run down to the lake, run down to the river. I'd fish all day, get back home. Like, my parents would be getting home from work and I'd have 2 or 3 fish with me. That was what I did for a living, and like until I was like 14 years old.
Jeez.
Yeah. That is 100% the reason you want to live in Alaska. And you know, I mean, not even just in Alaska. In you can live in Anchorage. It's a great town, but it's a city. I mean, you're living in a city when you're living in a place like Anchorage. You live in a place like Seward. You can run down to the beach and go fishing, and it's really awesome. Like living in the smaller towns in Alaska, living in the kind of the more remote areas in Alaska, that access to the outdoors you have and whatever you want to do. I mean, you know, my Sophie and I, starting when she was about 6, we started getting season passes to the ski resort in Girdwood. And, you know, I mean, at this point, she's 12 years old. She's darn near out skiing me. She's, you know, and that's not an opportunity that you have just anywhere. You know, I mean, you know, a lot of the country, it takes days, a couple days to drive to a ski resort, mm-hmm. you know. So just having those sort of like those things at your fingertips is huge, I think, for a kid.
You remember how early in her life that you went on, you did some outdoor adventure that she, I mean,
no.
Anything that sticks out?
Let's see. I mean, she was about 6 weeks old. First time we took her camping. We camped out of the truck, but we were sleeping in the back of our, we had a Yukon at the time. So we had like a bed built up back there. But we went for a big long hike with her. I mean, you know, that's what you do with an infant, especially around here. It's like, when you can strap them to your body,
yeah.
It's like, you just go for a hike,
go
for a ski. You take them out. First time we ever really got her out there where I think she could kind of focus on things and like kind of at least be aware that what was going on around her. She was probably about 10 months old, 9 months old. She's just about to walk, but she wasn't, which was nice. Cause we were kind of, we went camping out, near Bear Glacier out in Resurrection Bay. And, I think she was about 10 months old when we did that and, have some very careless photos.
Questionable
photos of her on and around the icebergs. Probably wouldn't do that now, knowing what I know.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, you know, from that point on, I mean, that we took her out on that trip. That was probably the first real, honest to goodness, backcountry trip we had her on. I mean, we camped out for 4 days, 3 days, 4 days, something like that. You know, had to run out there in Zodiacs and kind of nasty weather. Saw porpoises from the Zodiacs, ran up river with her, camped out in the lagoon, you know, found a little mossy spot where we could lay her down and had a little tent for her and everything. Yeah, I mean, that was, you know, she was 10 months old when we started doing that sort of thing with her. And then, yeah, I mean, on from there, we did a trip with you. She was about, we went out to Lake Clark. She was about two, no, yeah. Three. She must have been about three.
Three, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, that was however long that hike is.
She had just turned three,
five,
right?
6 miles. Yeah, yeah.
Because that was the end of the summer before we went to Hawaii.
Right.
The year before we went to Hawaii.
Right.
Which was her, she was four for that.
Right.
Yeah. For that winter, which, yeah, and that kind of gets into, like, I wanted to bring this up at some point. Like, your philosophy is parenting, because the reason I wanted to bring you on this podcast for this episode is because my wife and I, like, when we talked about how we want to parent, like, we've used you and your partner as, like, a model. And I kind of wanted to pick your brain on this, because a lot of times you hear that when people have kids that their lifestyle changes.
Right.
And that they kind of have to cater to what their kid wants to do. But correct me if I'm wrong, I'm curious your perspective on this, but I think partly because I've seen Sophie grown up for most of her life.
Right. Yeah.
But when I see you and your partner and how you have raised her, it almost seems like you haven't changed your lifestyle. You just like brought her along for the ride.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I totally. And I think my parents did the same thing with me, you know, I mean, so when I was a kid, when I was fresh out, so let's see, I was born in May. I'm not sure what they did with me that first summer, but I assume it was the same thing they did every summer, because we worked at a fish camp. So when I was a kid, basically what we would do is my dad was a pilot. This was before he worked for the Park Service. He was pilot. Well, this was kind of in and off and on when he worked for the Park Service. He didn't work full time, but he would he'd fly out hunters and stuff in the fall, and then in the spring they'd go out and they'd fish salmon. And so the set net site that we worked on, so he would go off and work on the boats. There'd be a little gill netter that they would sometimes park right in front of our camp, or they'd be off fishing the river. And then my mom, my sister, the wife of the guy that run the boat, his kids, like, we would all be on shore and we would have our own fishing operation going on there. And it was a little bit less intense than being out on the gill netters. It's just called a set net. So you'd take a net, you'd run it out into the water, and someone has to go out with a boat and pick the net out once every few, you know, 12 hours or something like that. And that was like what you did with your kid. I mean, that was like when you had kids and you were commercial fishermen, that you had a set net site, because that's, you didn't really want the kids running around the boat while you were fishing.
Yeah.
And that was, I mean, everyone I knew growing up, that's how we all grew up. That was, you know, and then when it came time for whatever it was, whatever the next season was, whether you were from the area I was, the hunting season, you know, I mean, I remember as a kid crawling around, one of our jobs was we had to keep the smoker going to keep the bugs off of all the meat while the, like, we were waiting for the planes to come and take them, mm-hmm. take them out. Like, I mean, that was, you know, it was a very communal thing, right? And it's, I think it's similar, you know, it's different stories, kind of different styles of living all over Alaska, but it's that same sort of way. I mean, you know, most families, you maybe change a few things, but you still, I mean, you know, the way of life is the way of life. And it's kind of been molded to deal with having kids, deal with families, because it's, you know, that's just the way of life up here. You come up, you know, I mean, there's large families up here. Yeah, I mean, I came from a fairly small family, but yeah, I mean, you'll see people down on the beach fishing, you know, they'll have 12 kids, mm-hmm. you know, and I mean, they're still doing the same thing. They got a whole workforce behind them, though. They got 12 kids to do all the work for them. So it's, you know, that's just kind of a way of life up here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, very, very inspiring. And, and we kind of want to follow that mold. The next one on this list was, it kind of relates to the first one, fun outdoor activities year round, right? A lot of people think about Alaska as being a summer location, and even for a lot of people, summer's too cold for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there's plenty to do year round. You've already talked about it. I mean, skiing with your daughter.
Yeah. Yeah. Skiing, snow machining. Yeah. I mean, you get them out there. All, I mean, that's to say too, a lot of these smaller communities, and you know, you've seen it here in Seward, those sort of indoor sports, it become a real, real like community building thing. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, it was volleyball. Like we had a basketball court, but I came from a really small village. So it was, you know, we didn't have a full size basketball court even, but we fit a full, it was a full, basically it was a full size volleyball court with basketball hoops on either side. And, we had a community basket, or excuse me, a community volleyball game every week. And that was like, that was the social event of like the week, every week was that. And you know, in here in Seward, we have the Parks and Rec department here. We have racquetball tournaments and basketball tournaments, volleyball, all these kind of things, pickleball now. And those sort of things, I mean, those sort of community events, those indoor sports even can really define like a town. And you know, Seward, obviously big one for Seward is swimming. Obviously we have a local Olympian and a great swimming program here. But, you know, there's, because of the difficulty of, you know, just kind of getting out and getting around in the winter here, there, a lot of that community has to be based around like an event like that, you know, a lot of like indoor sports, indoor community building sort of thing. So not, I mean, you know, that there's the outdoor sports, being able to go out and ski and snow machine, but those indoor sports and those kind of indoor community building sort of things are really important up here too. And that's some of my best memories as a kid, was running around the gym. Half the town was there.
Yeah. But and also, like, I remember as a kid, some of my, you know, you and I are Trekkies, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
So when my dad would wake me up in the middle of the night to go watch a meteor shower, like,
oh, yeah.
How cool is that? And here, when you have, you know, such a beautiful night sky, little light pollution. Yeah. Not only are you looking at the stars and meteor showers, you got the northern lights here. And
dude,
so,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it was one of my favorite things is, you know, when you see the northern lights are out, our house has a lot of kind of tree cover and everything, so you don't have a great view for them. So we always jump in the car. We'll go either down to the airport or up the road to a little overlook on the highway. And you go, I mean, sometimes half the town will be there. You know,
yeah.
You'll see 10 people, you know, out in the dark. You'll see people wandering around and you're like, who's that? I'm sure I know that. And you go out and, you know, you almost always know the people that are out there. So, yeah. And I mean, again, that's totally it. Just something you see. I mean, something that's kind of special to living around here. It's one of those things people, you start getting text messages and stuff like, hey, the northern lights are out, or hey, this and that, you know, there's a meteor shower or something like that. It's just, you know, it's people keep you updated on that sort of thing.
Next one on this list talks about just the amount of wildlife we have here and the uniqueness of the wildlife here. Oh, you know, yeah. When I, you know, as a kid, wildlife was like squirrel.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a pet squirrel once because I don't know, mom died and baby came up and hung out with us for a bit. So I kept it in like a little recycling bin for the summer. And then it lived out in a tree for a couple of years.
Nice.
Outside our house. We had a deer growing up in the Midwest. Oh, yeah. But, yeah. You know, like wildlife is not something that, you know, hey, let's go check out the wildlife here
in
Indiana. You know, yeah. And so, I don't know, what was that like? Like, you and Sophie are, you got her into the birding for a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Early on in my kayaking career, a wise man told me, but I'd always have something to talk about. So I was like, the first thing. So I was like, well, what can I talk about? Like just all the time. And the main thing, you really don't go very far in a kayak and Seward without seeing a bird. So I was like, well, if I can learn about birds, I can just talk about birds. Then when it came to time, I homeschooled my daughter. And when it came time to start doing, you know, a little bit more science, than kind of, you know, basic elementary or basic like kindergarten science, I was like, oh, we'll do birding. We'll like learn how to identify birds. And she loves it now. I mean, when we travel around the states in the winter, that's like, we just went to a place, Whitewater will draw in Arizona. And we saw there's something like 20,000 sandhill cranes that live down there in the wintertime. The same sandhill cranes that live up here on the Kenai Peninsula in the summertime. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we got to go see that. And that's something that, she was pretty stoked about because, up here, it's like, you know, there's, I forget what it is, something like almost 300 species of birds that like, you know, call Alaska home. And, you know, you get into the sea life, into the marine mammals. And then just this last year, my daughter went to a marine biology camp across the bay from Homer. And she was out there identifying different eels and bivalves and, you know, nudibranchs and all these kind of different things that you see in the water. And so, you know, I mean, you can dip a glass of water out and she can, you know, there's 10 different animals in there you can identify if you know what you're looking at. So that's something that, yeah, I mean, obviously for kids, you know, especially that sort of stuff, that sort of hands-on, get down in a tide pool and like look at all the little creepy crawlies that are in there. Kids love that. That's mm-hmm. like, you know, that's so easy. And I mean, one of the easiest things to do with a kid too, when you're around and you're like, oh, we got like an hour or two to kill. What are we going to do? Oh, we'll go down to the beach and they'll find something dead to play with. Some little animal that they can chase around. And as a kid too, that was my thing. I mean, I loved, we had the big salmon run that came through, you know, the town where I lived. And yeah, you'd go down and watch the zombie salmon cruising around, watch a few eagles pick them up, see a couple of bears wandering down the beach, just picking up at the carcasses and stuff. And yeah, I mean, it's like a, you know, it's not a thing you get to see most places you live. Huh?
No, I think it was maybe the first day that we'd gotten back to Seward. It was just a moose in our front yard. And so we like hold the baby up and like, oh, there's baby's first moose. Went for a walk. The first walk we took her on around the neighborhood that we saw moose then. And so do you ever worry when she was like young and being out, knowing if there's bears around or.
Yeah, not too bad. I mean, you know, I've been around bears a lot. That's been a thing. I've dealt with bears as a guide and I've dealt with bears in, you know, kind of my personal life a lot. That I was never too worried about it. You get a little nervous though when they get old enough to start wandering. And you start to hear that they're in the neighborhood, you know, you always kind of, yeah. I mean, she learned how to use a bear spray when she was about 7, you know, we give her one, take her out there. Yeah. She'll probably shoot herself with it more before she shoots a bear with it. But yeah, you got to learn how to use it the right way. Yeah.
Yep.
So actually really, we got a great video of her last summer. She was out on a trampoline, she's playing by herself. She was at her friend's house and she was jumping on the trampoline and her friend ran inside to get something to eat or drink or something. And it's a video of him taking a video of her. She's in like, you know, the trampolines these days, they have the little cages around them. And she's like in the cage sitting in the middle of the trampoline and there's a moose like looking right through the little mesh right at her. And then her friend's mom is like walking up to the other side of the trampoline like, Sophie, get out of there. There's a moose like looking right at you. She kind of looks around like, whoa. So, you know, moose tend to be the ones I worry about more because they, you know, the bears, I don't hear a whole lot about bears attacking kids, but moose can get really, really territorial around their calves, especially. Yeah. And we have 3 or 4 moose calve, like right on our, we only have an acre of land. I mean, it's not like we have that big of a piece of property, but we've had them 2 or 3 times calve on our property. So you always have a mama moose around with a baby. And that I do worry about that a little bit more than I do the bears, really. Because bears are, you know, they're pretty focused on food. Whereas the moose are, they're flighty. They're focused on like keeping their baby alive, and they can get pretty defensive. So.
Okay. Yeah. Watch out for those moose. Yeah. This next one on the list, I don't know if I've heard any pros or cons about this, but I haven't had a kid before, so I'm curious of yours. This website says that it's pretty quality healthcare in Alaska for raising kids. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Funny enough, Denali Kid Care is very easy to get for kids. It's kind of like the it's like Medicare. Medicare is for old people. Right, you care about old people, you aid. But it's called Denali Care, and it really is great. I mean, it's, you know, we never really had to worry about it. You know, even when we were both working seasonally and not working full time, our daughter's been covered since day one. We got a little bit of a bonus too, because Sophie and I are part Native, so we have the Native healthcare up here as well. So if you have any Native blood in you, you get free Native healthcare as well, which you get all over the country, but up here, because there's such a large Native population, it's the services are really easy to come by. The clinics are everywhere. There's even the main huge hospital in Anchorage. It's a big Alaska Native Medical Center. It's full on ER and operating room, inpatient beds, the whole thing like that. So, yeah, I mean, for a kid, it's really great. The state of Alaska really goes out of their way. And they also, you know, I mean, they take things like vaccinations and stuff like that really seriously. I mean, obviously Alaska's famous for its diphtheria epidemic that went through, and, you know, things like that. There's a lot of, especially in an area like in Alaska where you do spend a lot of time indoors around people in the winter, there's a lot of communicable diseases and stuff they worry about. So the Alaska State, you know, Board of Health, they go out of their way to make sure kids have access to all the healthcare they can have, which is, it's really nice.
Good. That's good to hear. Yeah. Good to hear. Yeah. All right. Next one on this list. Breathtaking natural beauty.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Alaska, you got oceans. You got mountains. You've got fjords where the mountains go straight into the ocean.
Yeah.
You have volcanoes. You're in the Ring of Fire.
There's even deserts.
There's deserts. There's plains. Yeah. You know, there's plateaus. There's, they got it all. Alaska's got it all. Tundra.
It's got it all. Yeah. Swamps.
Swamps.
Rivers.
Oh, rainforests. I mean, temperate rainforest.
Yeah.
And
it's wild. Oh yeah.
And again, like you said, you're homeschooling your child. And so I feel like this is the perfect environment to like teach science. And
oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think an unusual percentage of kids in Alaska end up in the sciences, especially the natural sciences, you know, biology and geology and stuff like that, because it's the kind of place. I mean, you grow up here and you can't help but like wonder at what you're seeing. You know, I mean, it's, you grow up, like I said, I mean, you grow up as a kid, a lot of times your parents are like, get out of here. Just go run around on the beach. And you spend the day picking around, you know, all the little bugs and stuff on the beach, the little crustaceans and stuff you can find. And you get these questions as a kid. And, you know, your parents are like, I don't know what the answer to that is. So you got to find that stuff out for yourself. I think it ends up, you know, sending a lot of people that grow up here kind of down that path of kind of understanding the world around them. And, you know, I mean, I think most of the people that I went to school with in high school, you know, a good percentage of them ended up in the natural and that kind of, you know, natural sciences, you know, a lot of geologists. You know, I mean, the geology of Alaska is fascinating, you know, and it's like you drive, you know, from Anchorage to Seward and the rock changes five different times. And you're like, why does that happen? Why does that look so different? You know, and the type of people that come up here, you know, that weren't raised up here, they're often those same types of people. They're wanting to see that kind of stuff. So the community up here that you get around you makes you real, you know, it's a real curious bunch of people about that sort of thing anyway. So it's definitely something that the kids pick up on, that's like a special thing about where they live. And of course, yeah, I mean, I remember as a kid flying through Lake Clark Pass on a sunny day being like, oh yeah, okay. Like sometimes people say, like most kids don't get to do this. I get it now. This is weird because I don't even get to do this every day. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and this next one is, you know, similar. It just talks about the unique attractions Alaska has. Mm-hmm. You know, from Northern Lights Very uncommon to see that in most places. You got 8 national parks, including the tallest mountain in North America. You got the Iditarod, the most famous dog sled race in the world. And then, fishing, dip netting, hiking. You can play baseball at midnight in the summertime, And so many unique attractions. Sophie's 12. Is she giving you any idea of, like, she might be a little too young, like, what she wants to do?
Oh, she's a science brain, for sure.
Is she?
Yeah. She's already done. That's why she went to this marine biology camp. Yeah, she loves marine wildlife. And, it's easy to be the one that's like, oh, I love the sea otters. I love the seals. They're cute, right? The whales are cool. They're huge. They're big. She's like, no, I like the bugs. She likes, she likes the weird little stuff you find. She likes the eels and, like, the little creepy crawlies and stuff. And I'm a big fan of those, too. But, she loves tide pooling and picking through and seeing all of that kind of stuff. And I think that's, I think she's working her way into something along those lines. At least that's what she wants right now. I think I thought that at one point, too. But then I ended up driving boats, which, that's not a bad, second option.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
This next one I'm curious your thoughts on, because you've lived outside of Alaska for a bit, and the next one just talks about how Alaska lets you focus on your family first, that it's just a slower lifestyle here, and you spend more time dealing with taking care of just, like, basic needs than you would in, like, a large city that kind of just focuses you to kind of bond together as a family and spend more time together versus the, the big hustle bustle of a large city. And so for you, you've actually lived with Sophie in San Francisco?
Yeah. We lived in San Francisco.
San Antonio. Yep. And so
Tucson. Tucson. We spent a bunch of time in Tucson the last couple winters. So,
pros and cons of, like, each versus the other.
It's funny, you get down in places like that, and when we're in places like that, we'll spend 2 or 3 months in a place like that in the winter. My partner is a nurse, so we'll take a travel and nursing assignment, do stuff like that, and so we try to put her in lessons and stuff like that, get her kung fu lessons or whatever, something like that. You can't necessarily do in a town like Seward. And and it's crazy because all of a sudden we'll be like, oh, well, tonight's youth group, and then tomorrow night is this, and we got to do this. And then all of a sudden you're like, God, we're overwhelmed. Like, we came down here for 3 months, and I'm like, already, like, we spent half of our time driving around, getting her to this and that and the other thing. And, like, we could take her to the little Dungeons and Dragons night down at the games shop, and we take her to the swim lesson, and we take her to this. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, shoot, you're like, a whole week's gone by. I think that's Alaska's, it does kind of force you to slow down, because it's like, especially when you live in a place like Seward, it's like, we not only do you not have those kind of things, you actually have to plan a whole trip to go to Anchorage to, like, go shopping. You gotta go, it's like, that's a whole day's trip. Like, you have to kind of rationalize your time when you're here. And it's really easy to say, like, hey, like, I'm going to make sure that you have to put that kind of time aside for your family up here, because it's like, you could easily just burn all your time trying to do what it takes to kind of get by up here.
And I like that idea of teaching, like, just life skills or just hard work. Like, if it's winter and you're in a big city and you want to have a nice, cozy, evening.
Yeah.
You just turn the thermostat up.
Right. Yeah.
Where here, it's going to be colder in the winter.
Right.
That means in the summer, you're finding a permit to go find firewood.
Right.
You have, take a chainsaw.
Yeah.
Chop it up.
Yeah.
Put it in the bed of a truck.
Yeah.
Or a trailer. Drive it back. Find a wood splitter or maul it all. Slice it up.
Right.
And, like, you take your kid with you and they help you with that.
Yeah,
and
it's absolutely.
Like, and if you want to heat your house in the winter, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of time and effort, but I think that's just a really cool experience.
Yeah, definitely. No, it really is. That's that kind of stuff. Like, it has an effect on kids. And it had an effect on me. I look back on those things and I'm like, oh yeah, like those are definitely experiences that aren't super common elsewhere in the country that I remember. So, like, where we lived, we weren't a full subsistence household, but we were probably something about 30% of our food came from subsistence as a kid. And, like, I remember, some of my favorite memories are Mary Allsworth, the matriarch of the Allsworth family. She had this, strictest schedule. You got up at 6 in the morning, You checked the net. You came back in. She had breakfast for you. You went back out. You cleaned fish. You checked the net. Like, she had it down to the minute. And, I mean, as, like, a five-year-old, six-year-old kid, I was, like, following her, like, you had to follow those, or else she was going to yell at you. You don't want to get on Mary's bad side. I mean, you know, as a kid, like, that's, I mean, I was pretty young doing that. And, but I was having a blast the whole time. It never felt like I was working, you know, because, mm-hmm. I mean, you're slopping around in fish slime and, you know, playing with, throwing fish guts at your sister and all that kind of stuff. It's like, it was great. It was a blast. But, and that's, I mean, it really is like, it's a family experience, stuff like that. It's not something you do. It's not something just one person can go out and do. You know, it's not like one person goes out and gets all the fish for the year. No, it's like you got to have the whole family there because it's a lot of work and it takes that time.
Yeah, I'm excited to teach my daughter those things. This next one, I think this is a big one. And it's, you know, when I talk about my Alaska experience being up here for a couple summers at first, I thought maybe after my first summer, the nature of the wildlife probably brought me back. But after that, it was like the community, a small town feel. Yeah. And that's what this one hits on. It's just a small town atmosphere. Yeah. And like I guess this will be a little different from you because you grew up here. Your sister has kids and she's in Anchorage and so not too far. But when my wife and I were pregnant, when she was pregnant, you know, that's like a conversation we had is like, are we going to be in Alaska long term just because we're not from here? We have no family here. However, it's been really cool to see that we have a lot of friends with kids just a little bit older, like 2-3 years old. You got Sophie, who's 12, who can be a great babysitter down the road. Oh, yeah. But like, I remember growing up with like my cousins and like going out and just to the park on holidays and whatnot. And I'm like, oh, I'm a little bummed my kid might miss out on that if we stay here long term. But I don't think they would.
No.
And, you know, it wouldn't be with their cousins, but their best friends.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I feel like.
Absolutely.
You know, you talk to me about Sophie and the friendships that she's made growing up here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, that found family aspect of community up here in Alaska is big. I mean, you know, because you really do. You get a lot of folks that come up and. Yeah, I mean, I had grandparents that lived in Idaho. I had grandparents that lived in Connecticut. And I saw them once a year or something like that. But then, you know, there was an old guy down the lake that my dad was really close with that was about my grandparents' age. Yeah, he taught me everything I know about fishing. He taught me everything I know about, you know, kind of this backcountry living and all this sort of stuff. Like, he was really, I mean, he was as much a grandfather or grandparent figure to me as my blood grandparents were. And, you know, the kids that lived out there, I mean, you know, I still see them to this day. And it's one of those, it's like seeing a cousin or something like that. You know what I mean? It's not like I've have a few friends that I went to high school with in Anchorage that I see once in a while. I'm like, oh yeah, that's my friend from back then. So-and-so, whatever. And it's good to see them. But, you know, I see the kids that I grew up with in Port Allsworth as, you know, you see them and it's like, well, we pick right back up. I haven't seen you in 10 years, but we pick right back up where we were 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's we're as close as family, you know, for sure. I mean, you're excused in the smaller villages and stuff. If you just call everybody your cousin, cause it's like, sometimes you don't even know who is your cousin or isn't your cousin, you know, and most of my family's from out of state. So like, I never really had that problem, but I've got people calling me their cousin before, and it's like, yeah, no, that's totally, everyone, you know what I mean? That family sort of aspect, that found family sort of aspect is really common out, you know, kind of, especially the further from the bigger population centers you get around here. And at the same time, yeah, I mean, you know, like my daughter, she found, there was a little girl sitting in a puddle in the middle of the street, you know, when she was pretty little. And Sophie was also sitting in another different puddle in the middle of the street. And they saw each other. They were about like 3 years old, 4 years old. And they're still best friends to this day. And, you know, we didn't know them from anything. I mean, we didn't know the family or anything. The girls started playing together. And now we're all pretty close. Her best friend, we're going to see them here in a couple of weeks back down in Arizona when we head down. So that kind of rolled into like I met that little girl's parents. And then I met the dad's sister who I ended up working with and all this sort of stuff. And it's like, well, now, I mean, you know, we're that whole family, like both sides of that family, we're like really close with. We spend tons of time with them.
Yeah. I was blown away. So my daughter, Little Taco, over a month old now, but when we got back to Seward, I don't think we've had to make more than like two meals. Like, friends coming over with, a food train almost every night and having all the leftovers from that. It's been like super helpful. And then you came over for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And Sophie's kind of the oldest of the kids of our like friend group. And so they were in a bedroom and a bunch of little kids running around. And so that was, I kind of felt like, oh, this is what, maybe my parents felt like at events when I was a kid with my cousins. And, these aren't Taco's cousins, but they're going to have that same type of, I feel like, relationship that I had with
my
cousins. So,
yeah, it's awesome. And it's one of my favorite parts of living up here. And, and one of the fun things too that you get when you're around Alaska, I started working down in Southeast Alaska a lot. And there's a lot of smaller towns down there, around 1,000, 2,000 people, something like that. And you start to go to those towns and identify that. And it's like, oh, look at that. Like, that's the same way it is where I'm from. It's just a different cast of characters. And it really, it's one of those things. I always kind of was aware of it with myself. But, the more I've started traveling around the state and working kind of all over the place, you start to see it everywhere. And it's like, oh, man, that's crazy. Like, it really is like a... It's a thing that happens up here kind of everywhere that I think it goes untalked about a lot. It's, when people ask like, why do you like Alaska? Why do you live there? It's like, it's great. It's beautiful in the summer and this, that, and the other thing. But I think it's easy to kind of skip over that, like that sort of close-knit community sort of thing that you have, as a kid and as an adult.
And the last one on their list, it just talks about like, Alaska, I guess, is just increasing in its diversity.
Yeah.
And I get it because there's, a healthy Alaska Native population here. But then there's a lot of people that aren't from Alaska and they're not all coming from the same place.
Oh, yeah,
sure. And you've got the uniqueness of people who, like you, are from here. You got people coming in from all over who end up staying. And so you get your child exposed to many different lifestyles and different types of peoples and thought processes and that's got to be good.
Yeah. One of the things that surprises a ton of people is like there is a huge Polynesian population in Alaska. Samoans, Hawaiians, and it's not the most intuitive thing, right? Like you'd think like, oh, these folks from like the warm Pacific Islands, why are they coming to Alaska? But, it's one of those things where like, some group of them came here at one point or another and the word got out to their families and they kind of started, got a foothold in Alaska. They're a huge community. I mean, and it's people get here and they're like, a lot of folks think they're Alaska natives, but they're not. I mean, it is a huge, like South Pacific Polynesian culture that you see up here. You get a lot of, as a kid, I really didn't know that there was any other football team in the NFL other than the Green Bay Packers, because there's so many people from Wisconsin here. It's wild. I mean, they're like, I was like, oh yeah. I was a San Francisco 49ers fan back in the day. Right. And it was like, everyone was like, Packers. And I was like, one day someone was like, well, there's 28 teams in the NFL. And I was like, what? There was like four. That was like the Green Bay Packers. There's the Vikings because they're next door. The Chicago has one, and then there's San Francisco. What other ones are there? There's not.
So yeah, Seahawks, right? Alaska's. Yeah.
Well, Seahawks, but they're terrible. Yeah. I mean, they're Warren Moon. Other than that,
they're the team that's relegated, right?
They had the coolest jerseys, but they didn't really. I don't know, they play football. They were like a farm team back then. So there's this huge like population from Wisconsin, Minnesota, that kind of upper Midwest area. So you have a big kind of influence of that. You got a lot of people that kind of brought
right, the whole culture. Valley was settled by Midwesterners who were paid to come up here to farm the land in Alaska.
Yeah. During that Dust Bowl era, it was, Alaska was this kind of open area with tons of space that, there was lots of money being given away for folks to come up here and do that. Same, I mean, also with the, at that same time there was the Homestead Act that you could come up here and just, you could just section off a piece of land as long as you did the paperwork right. It was all yours. And, folks from kind of the more self-reliant parts of the country just came up here in droves. And a lot of that, especially, you know, because that upper Midwestern area, Minnesota and, you know, Wisconsin is so cold anyway, they came to Alaska and it was like, well, this is just as cold as Minnesota and Wisconsin, but it's beautiful. And
or if you're on
this free land.
If you're on the coast like we are, it's warmer here.
It's not even that cold.
The Midwest.
Yeah. 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 You might have to figure out what to do with all that rain. Yeah, it's cool. It is a melting pot, and it's and then yeah, of course you got the native cultures, and then you know, I mean, it's you got, of course, there's some weird ones in there. You know, there's the old Russians that stuck around since like Russia owned Alaska way back when. They all speak like an old dialect of Russian. They don't even speak in Russia anymore. I mean, there's all kinds of cool stuff in Alaska. It's always an interesting. You know, you get any random group of people talking in Alaska, and it's like you never know where they're coming from. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. And I want you to touch base. So that's the list of the template from that website I was talking about. But I think a lot of the opportunities your daughter has received has been because you've also homeschooled her, which I feel like maybe in the lower 48, homeschooling is very uncommon.
Yeah.
Or a lot more uncommon than it is here.
Right.
And so... Yeah. I don't know. Maybe just touch on what that experience has been like for you.
Yeah, yeah. So I was homeschooled too. And it's really, really common, especially outside of the bigger population centers in Alaska. You know, I mean,
until high school, right? You went to high school.
I went to high school. And that's why I kind of talk about growing up kind of in two parts. Like I grew up until I was like 13 out kind of in the middle of nowhere out in Lake Clark National Park. And then my dad's job, I kind of moved into Anchorage at that same time. So I came in and started, I went to my last 4 years of school in Anchorage at a high school that had 2,000 students. So I went from a town of 120 people to a high school that had 2,000.
Jeez.
Yeah. It was wild. But yeah, you know, I mean, it, especially out where I grew up originally, there was a public school out there, but... families, especially families that commercial fish, because the season is so kind of off and on, it's a little weird. It's really common to homeschool. And so with our daughter, we actually started homeschool right before COVID. But then at this point now, I mean, almost all of her friends, I think at this point, she's only got one or two friends from out of state that even go to public school. Her cousins, my sister's kids do. But outside of that, like all of her closer friends, they're all still homeschooled. And it just is kind of part of the, it's just kind of the ebb and flow of life up here that it makes it a lot easier for some folks to just have that sort of freedom in their kids' school schedule. And the schools here are really well set up for it. You know, as a kid, when I was homeschooled, I had a teacher that also had, so she had a class of like 15, 20 kids that she taught in person, and then half a dozen or a dozen or so kids that were homeschooled that also like we did it mostly back then by, mail correspondence. But we would do like phone calls with her every once in a while. Nowadays, you can still do it that way. And we actually looked at that same program for our daughter when she went into school. But, right now, what she's in is she's actually part of the Galena School District, which Galena is this tiny little village out in the middle of nowhere in Alaska. And one of the ways that that you can get a bunch of, you know, extra money for your school, because, you know, the more kids you have enrolled in your school, you know, you get X amount of money per kid plus some money for the school district system. So with her being in that school district, they get a little bit of money from just her being on the rolls in that school. And then all the rest of the money that goes to her education that would normally go to pay the teachers and the, you know, lunch lady and keep the school's lights on and all that kind of stuff, that money just comes to us. So we buy all of her curriculums with that. We buy, you know, there's different limits on how much you can spend on certain things, but like we've bought her season pass for skiing with that every year. We buy, you know, we get her, bought her a bow and arrow set. We bought her, you know, these science kits that she can do that are like, you know, these physics science kits where she can, you know, create, you know, different kind of, you know, physics experiments. You know, one she like creates this big purple cloud of like stuff that fills up the room and, you know, all that kind of fun stuff. But then at the same time, you know, we're also paying for her monthly, like her math lessons. You know, she has like an online math course that she does, and the history books that she reads, you know, that but you know, she's not reading straight out of a history textbook. She's reading these graphic novels that are these graphic novels. She just finished one about John Wesley Powell's first trip through the Grand Canyon. And it was all graphic novel form. And it was awesome. Like, I mean, she was like super engaged in it. And, you know, when I was a kid, I mean, you know, we were reading these super dry textbooks with like, you know, double column textbooks where it's like, you know, that's not that fun to read.
No.
So, and I mean, that was back when homeschool was kind of, it was different for sure. Cause now with the internet, it's changed a lot. You know, I mean, she can go on chat rooms with the other kids in her class and all that kind of stuff nowadays that we couldn't do when I was a kid. Which I think really has improved kind of how, and there's also that's improved. I mean, a big hit in a lot of places on the homeschool situation is that, you know, you're losing that socialization. And up here, there's so many kids that are homeschooled that, I mean, you're as likely to go out in the middle of the day and see a few kids out playing around because they're homeschooled too, than you are to need to like socialize and not be able to find a kid somewhere. So it's pretty common. Yeah, we've been very happy, and I was very happy. I loved being homeschooled. I mean, it was great because, you know, we also, yeah, like I said, we were just down in Arizona. We're going to go back down for a little bit longer this winter, and it just gives you that freedom to be like, hey, let's go. We're going to go look at this thing. We went to Tombstone while we were down in Arizona this last time. We watched the movie. Kurt Russell did the whole thing. Next week, we're going to go. We're going to see Johnny Ringo's grave. We're very excited. Where Doc Holliday shot Johnny Ringo.
Yeah, and so we're excited. We're going to join you down in Tucson for my wife's last week of maternity leave.
Yeah,
so take that baby
in the sun.
Get some sun, and looking forward to that. So, that's a nice long episode.
Oh, yeah. I always get long
episodes. That's good content, though. So, yeah, I thought this was a cool episode. Like my first episode recording with Baby Taco.
Yeah.
And so yeah, you've been on my mind a lot and how you've raised Sophie and kind of just curious the path. Yeah, because like homeschooling is never something I would have thought I would have considered for a kid of mine. But now it's like, we might go that route.
Yeah, yeah. The nice thing about Alaska is that it's not the kind of place where, like, I think in some parts of the country, people are like, you're going to homeschool? Like, oh man, don't do that. But like, people here don't bat an eyelash at it. And that's kind of the nice thing about Alaska in general. When it comes to parenting or even just life in general, people are really open to different lifestyles and different ideas and, you know, people's kind of just, you know, everyone here is, it's a lifestyle where you're so kind of focused on making sure you have yourself going, you have, you know, you're relying on yourself for a lot that you don't really have time to like get on, like to be like worried about what somebody else is doing. Yeah. And you see someone else doing something that's working, you're like, well, okay, what are they doing? Because that seems to be working pretty well for them. And it creates, again, like I was saying, kind of this community thing where it's like, oh, that person seems to be doing pretty good. They seem pretty happy. What are they doing? Oh, they homeschool their kids? Well, that makes a lot of sense. Well, that guy, what are they doing? Oh, they raise their kid. They live in a boat year round. Like, that's kind of cool. Like, you know, and maybe not necessarily something you're going to do forever, but you know, you're like, well, I don't know, maybe go live on a boat for a year and see how that goes, and just to change it up, do something a little different. It's just that kind of lifestyle up here where people are like, there's a little bit of sharing that goes on with that kind of stuff, and it makes it fun. It makes it
and the kids contribute to like everyday life, which I think ends up being transferable if they want to go do something else outside of what maybe their parents kind of grew up in or had a profession. And,
Sure.
So, all right. Well, thanks, Jared.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Annie. Thanks
that was a great episode. I've heard my baby crying in the background a few times. So my wife might appreciate if we wrap this up and let her get some sleep. And so I'll give thanks once more to our main sponsor, Sunny Cove Kayaking. We are just on the border of the summer 2024 season, and so plenty of seats still available. Make your travel plans, get up to Alaska ASAP, book a trip with Sunny Cove. Shout out to Blackwater Railroad Company for allowing us to use their music. great local band out of Seward. They've been hitting up Hawaii, the Hawaii scene, the last couple of years. So kind of want to get out there one of these times they're out there. So check them out live or give their music a listen to. You can find them on Spotify, iTunes, all those places. We've got our instrumental for our intro off SoundCloud from Scott Buckley. So check his stuff out. He's got some really cool stuff out there. Shout out to Emma Campbell of the Sunny Cove Kayaking for designing our beautiful bald eagle logo.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Finally, as a big way to help us spread the word of our pod, you know, do I need to put a little baby eaglet in the logo?
Come on. Yeah. No, there's got to be a baby.
Ooh, Emma, you listening there? Yes. And help us spread the word of our podcast by subscribing, sharing, and reviewing. Give us those 5 stars on whatever platform you may find us through. And as always, we first and foremost appreciate your support just by being a listener to our content. But if you'd like to support our project financially, check out our different tiers on Patreon, patreon.com/thelastfrontier.
All right, that's all for this episode. I hope you join us for the next. In the meantime, your last frontier awaits. So long.
You'll stay and hear every word I say.
Danny, I have to be fully honest. That beer gave me some real bad heartburn.
Oh, did it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
I got the heartburn real bad. It's in there.
My wife got the heartburn when she was pregnant with her baby. You know why? Hair.
Hair?
Did you know that?
No.
I was, well, this whole thing.
Do you think there's hair in my tummy right now?
Our baby was born with hair.
Oh.
You know how that makes me feel? I don't even know if it's my baby.
Is that where it all went?
Yeah. Apparently, I gave it all to the baby.